We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you, and you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast right here on WMIE FM. We want to thank you for tuning in today to hear the word of the Lord. We've been studying here for several days now the fact that God wants to strengthen his people. We've been specifically talking about strengthening to heal. And on yesterday's broadcast, we were in Psalm 27, verses 11 through 14. I made a note here on my notes because I believe I made an announcement as we were getting ready to get into that study about a testimony that I was going to share with you. And then I looked at my notes after the broadcast and I said, man, I forgot to tell people about that testimony. So we have been talking this week about praying and asking God to reveal to us an act of kindness that we could share with the person that we're praying for. I hope that you are joining us in praying that God would use you to lead somebody to Jesus in the month of October. God is the Lord of the harvest. He does everything that is necessary to prepare the field. He puts a wall of protection up. He makes sure that the soil is the proper nutrition and it has the proper hydration, that it's tended, that the weeds aren't grown. And so today I want to ask you to believe, because in the scriptures it says God asked the question, what more could I have done for my garden? What more could I have done? And on Sunday night at one of our grow groups, I was asking these three simple questions. Do you believe that God wants every person on planet Earth to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? And the answer to that is yes, because the scripture says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should have everlasting life. And so that's the will of the Lord. We talked about that when we had the will of the Lord study. And so my next question was this: do you believe that God has a plan to accomplish his will? And the answer to that question is yes, that the saints are God's plan to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to those that Jesus died to save. And so it's God's will that none perish. It is also true that God has a plan, and we are that plan. We are plan A. There is no plan B. There is no plan B. In the epistle of Jude, it says that the message of salvation has been committed to the saints once and for all. That means there is no plan B. It is by God's sovereign will that he has chosen to partner with you and I. We are the plan to carry the good news of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And so my third question was this: what is your role in the fulfillment of God's plan to take the message of the good news of Jesus Christ? And I will be honest with you, after 22 years of pastoring as a senior pastor, over 30 years of being in the ministry, let me tell you what most people's answer to that. My plan is somebody else is going to be the one that does the work. That is what most people's plan is. And that is where the breakdown is, because every person that is listening to the sound of my voice If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you are God's plan to take the message of salvation to the ends of the world. And so we've been praying for that, and this week we've been adding to that. God, would you reveal to me an act of kindness that I can do that is going to be meaningful in this person's life, that is going to express to them the tangible love of Jesus Christ. And so, as we've done for several broadcasts, let's begin now and open up this day in prayer and ask God, show us what you would have me to do. Father, right now, we pray for those that you have laid upon our heart. God, it is a privilege to intercede on behalf of those that you died to save. And I pray, God, right now, that it would be more than just a mental awareness. But God, instead, I pray that it would be a privilege to carry them before the throne of grace, to ask that your Holy Spirit to move in their life. And I pray, O God, that you would reveal to each one of us right now, reveal to us what it is you would have us to do. Lord, reveal to us a need that they have in their life, a need that we could meet, whether it is baking a batch of cookies or sharing a cup of coffee or mowing a lawn, whatever it might be. God, I pray that you would use us. Lord, your love is something that is seen and experienced, not just talked about. And so I pray that you would help us to understand what it is you would have us to do. In the name of the Lord, we thank you that you are Lord of the harvest and that you love these more than we do, and you want them to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So thank you for praying, and today we do want to invite you out to church this weekend. Our Sunday school is at 9:30. Our worship service is at 10:30. If you do not have a church home, I would like to invite you to Merit Assembly of God. Our address is 165 North Grove Street. I would love to have the opportunity to meet you. If you have giftings that you are not utilizing in the body of Christ, we would ask that you would consider visiting Merit Assembly of God, because we have a lot of needs. Now, about a higher than average percentage of our congregation is involved in ministry, but we have several ministry positions that we need help with. We've got a lot of people that are carrying a lot of different hats. The scripture says to know them that labor among you. So, you know, we do like to get to know people. But if your gifting is telling people about Jesus, I can put you to work tomorrow. If you have the gift of evangelism, have I got opportunities for you? And so, if you do not have a church home, maybe you've been hurt in church. I can relate to that. But you know what I discovered? I discovered that Jesus was a greater healer than those people were hurters. And so, I thank God for his healing power. So let me take you to Psalm 31 this morning. Psalm 31. And this is going to be kind of a follow-up onto the lesson that we discussed yesterday, and then I will share that testimony at the end. But yesterday, we talked about, out of Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Excuse me. And here in Psalm 31 today, verse number 23, it says, "O love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." And that means who have confidence in the Lord. You are expecting things in the Lord, that you are confident that you have committed things against that day, that he will keep those things. And so it talks here in verse number 23 that our primary responsibility is to love the Lord. And it says, all you his saints. It is not just the worship team's responsibility to love the Lord. It is not just the pastor's responsibility to love the Lord. But the scripture says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I believe that what that is saying is we need to be so motivated to love the Lord our God that we use every aspect of our being, that we use every aspect of our strength, our mind should be involved in loving the Lord. Our strength should be involved in our emotions should be, it should come from the heart. We should be passionate about expressing our love for the Lord. And so if we will do that, remember in an earlier broadcast, I talked to you about the power of if. When we begin to express our love for the Lord, remember it is because he first loved us that we are empowered to love him. It is not that we love him and then he expresses his love for us. It is he's already expressed his love for us. Now it is our turn. The ball is in our court, if I can borrow a tennis expression, and we now express our love for him. And there are benefits to that. A lot of times we talk about the responsibilities of loving the Lord, you know, and that it's keeping the commandments. But there are privileges, there are blessings that come our way because we love the Lord. And in Psalm 31 here, it says, for the Lord preserves the faithful. Today, you and I believe that we have a plague of unfaithfulness. There is a passage, and it describes that there are three qualities or three characteristics whereby people are known by. First of all, there is the faithless, and they are not faithless because they were not given the gift of faith. The scripture says that God has given to every person the measure of faith. And so you've got the one extreme on that end, that there are people who've completely ignored the faith that God has given them. They have not activated it. They've not employed it by the Spirit of God. They are not hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so there isn't anything that is going on. It is laying inert in their life. They are faithless, not because they do not have it, but because they are not applying it. They've not activated the gift. I don't know if you've ever had a gift. A couple of years ago, we had some Christmas presents, and unbeknownst to us, one of the Christmas stockings, it had some food in it, and it accidentally got pushed aside, and nobody really noticed it. Well, we had a dog that... Some months later, we came home and he had found the Christmas gifts that were in the stockings. We don't do Santa Claus, but we still do stockings that have just, you know, little treats in them for people. And the dog, because of its keen sense of smell, had discovered that there was an unopened bag of candy that was within its grasp. And we came home and we found candy, you know, remnants all over the floor, the packaging and all that. It wasn't because the person had not received the gift. They had never appropriated the use of it. So there's the faithless. And then there is on the other extreme, the faithful. And those are people who are obedient. The scripture says that we need to be faithful in small things. And then as a result of that, we will be entrusted with even greater things. God is a faithful God. The scripture says to the faithful, he shows himself faithful. One of the reasons that the world does not perceive the faithfulness of God is because of the lack of faithfulness on their own side. God is faithful, but their eyes are blinded because of their own unfaithfulness. And so they don't recognize the faithfulness of God because they don't have faithfulness inside. You know, I drove at one point in time a Ford Tempo. I'd never really paid attention to Ford Tempos on the road. All of a sudden, because I was driving one, I saw Ford Tempos everywhere. I never paid attention to how many women were pregnant until, you know, the season in our life where my wife was with child, and all of a sudden there were pregnant women everywhere. And what it was is because there was something that was going on in my life, all of a sudden I noticed all of these other people who were going through the same thing. And when you and I exercise faithfulness, when God has full faith and confidence in us, then we will perceive the faithfulness of God. The third characteristic, and I mentioned it here just a second ago, is unfaithful. So somewhere between faithless and faithful, there is a third characteristic, and that is people who've been empowered by faith or know about faith, and yet they have chosen to remain unfaithful. And it grieves me every time I hear of a marriage where a partner has been unfaithful in that. It grieves me whenever I hear about congregations and denominations that are no longer being faithful to the Word of God. And so there are people who've had a knowledge, who've had an awareness, and yet they are not walking in faithfulness. They are breaking covenant. And you want to know what the Scripture says? The Scripture says that unfaithfulness is worse than faithlessness. It is being unfaithful is worse than not having faith at all. And so if you think that sloppy grace is the way to live and not walking out to where God has full confidence in you and full confidence in me, I want to let you know that we are being blinded by the enemy, and unfaithfulness is not something to be trivialized. Listen, Jesus said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of my rest." So it says, for the Lord preserves the faithful. And so if I will be true to what God has called me to do, if I will be faithful to what God has called me to do, then I am confident of this, that he is going to preserve my life. It also goes on and it says, and he fully repays the proud or the arrogant. Those who, listen, the Scripture says God opposes the proud. Not only does he oppose it, the Proverbs says that he abhors a haughty spirit. He hates a proud look. It disgusts him because he knows that we were created out of the dust. We would be nothing had he not breathed into us the breath of life. He knows that apart from him, we can do nothing of any significant value, of any eternal consequence. And so it says, and he fully repays the proud. In other words, there is going to come a time where we are going to come away, or we are going to become aware of our own spiritual bankruptcy, that we are going to realize that we are poor and pitiful and blind and naked. And so I don't want to be fully repaid for arrogance. I want the other part where he gives grace to the humble. So then it goes on. So now we've spent a couple of clauses here, going through what God does. And then there's another charge, another responsibility for us. And it says, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Courage is not a lack of it's not a lack of concern, but it's a confidence that the God who's called us is the author of the faith. He's the one who equips us for the task, and he is also the one that finishes the task. And so be of good courage, because you do not go into your battle, into your struggle alone. And so it says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. And a lot of people want to come to from a place of fear or apprehension or worry and say, well, you know, maybe God will just change my heart. It says we've got to be the one who exhibits the courage, and when we do step out in faith and we do step out in courage, that God is going to do this. He will strengthen our heart. And then it says, all you who hope in the Lord. So our courage is not something that we, you know, do like an NFL pregame show where there's somebody that gathers around and goes around and pounds on other people's shoulders and, and gets them worked up to a frenzy and said, I know we've not won a game in 15 years, but today is the day, guys, and we're going to go out. We own this team. You know, and they get all people all hyped up and emotion and all of that, and then they go out there. We're not talking about that type of hoping in the Lord or that type of courage, but it is because of the God that we know, the God whose I am and the God who I serve, that He is the Almighty God, He is the Omnipotent God, He is the God who has defeated the enemy, who came to destroy the devil and all the works of the devil. It is He who has called us. It is He who empowers us. It is He who equips us. And He will go with us into battle. When I was a kid, there was an expression that I grew to hate. It was said by people who did not go with me into the thing. And then when I would come back and we would be having a conversation, they would say this, well, you should have said this, or you should have done this. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if you knew what I should have done, why didn't you go with me so that we could have done what you said that I should have done instead of sending me not knowing what I was to do and then coming back and telling me what I should have done, when all in all, you sent me because you didn't want to be the one that went in there and did it. Anyway. Get that off my chest. But it says, when we operate in good courage, He shall strengthen your heart. I believe that God can heal hearts. Actually, the scripture says that God is the one who actually invented the heart transplant. It says in the Old Testament that He would take out a heart of stone and He would give us a heart of flesh. He would take out a calloused, hardened, defective heart, and He would give us a heart that was tender. He would give us a heart that was functional. He would give us a heart that was sensitive to His direction and to His needs. And so I want to encourage you, love the Lord, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and wait upon Him, hope in Him, because He will strengthen your heart. And so I don't want to send you off into the weekend and not share this testimony. This was a testimony that happened several months ago. It was a minister's wife, a person that's a dear friend of mine, a real sweetheart of a lady. And all of a sudden there was communication that went out. Her and her husband are a few years older than I am. Nothing serious, nothing extreme, but a few years older. And the cry went out to pray for this woman because she had had a heart issue. They said she had had a heart attack, and they were putting her in the hospital. And they were trying to discover, you know, trying to find out how to treat her. And it, at that point in time, it was touch and go. It was very life threatening. And so they're praying. The medical personnel are doing everything that they can to do. And so they got her to the hospital. They got her stabilized. They were taking good care of her, and the church. Churches all up and down the East Coast, churches all across Florida, they were praying for this minister's wife who had had this very serious heart episode, and they didn't know whether or not she was going to live. So after they got her stabilized, they put her in for tests. They did a heart catheterization on her. I believe they did a stress test on her. And they set her up for a meeting with the cardiologist. And after all of the tests, the cardiologist came in and he gave her this report. There is no blockage in any of your arteries. No blockage. There is no damage to your heart muscles. There is no valve problem with your heart muscle. There's nothing wrong. Your blood pressure is fine. Your pulse is fine. In fact, you have the cardiovascular system of a 30-year-old, and this is a person that is several years older. They said, we cannot find any damage to your heart. We cannot find a cause to what may have led to this episode. We can't find anything wrong with your cardiovascular system at all. Your heart is more than healthy for somebody half your age. And we praise God for that. So when I am praying, and that's not the only episode that I've ever seen where God has actually touched and healed somebody's heart. Before I was even a pastor, there was a lady that showed up at church, and she was praying for a grandchild of hers that they had diagnosed with heart problems. And we prayed that morning at church, and that lady came back that night and she testified, and she said the heart problem that was there yesterday, tonight they are telling us that they cannot find any heart problems. Today, I just want to close out this broadcast, and I want to offer up prayer. If you're listening to this broadcast this morning, I want to know that what God has done for others, He can do for you. He is the one who designed and created your heart. I encourage you, if there's an area of unfaithfulness in your life, get that right. Confess it. Ask God to make you a faithful person. He will make you faithful in that which is another person's. Then He will cause you to be faithful in a little, and then He will give you faithfulness in much. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord. Hope in Him. Have your confidence in Him. Put your confidence in Him, and then we're going to just pray right here as we can close this broadcast. God, touch and heal these hearts right now in Jesus' name. Father, we want to thank you for the medical personnel. We want to thank you for their skill. God, there are a lot of people alive today that would not have been alive, 50 years ago because the technology did not exist that would have kept them alive. God, a lot of people's hearts would have failed them. But Lord, instead, now they are alive. But Lord, I want to thank you that you strengthen hearts. I pray right now, God, that any person that is listening to my voice, God, if there's an unfaithfulness issue in their life, I pray that you would forgive us that you would empower us to live a faithful life before you. And I pray, God, that right now you would touch hearts, that you would repair damaged hearts, that you would repair leaking valves. God, I pray that you would open clogged arteries. I pray today that you would do a miracle in somebody's life and heal their heart for your glory and your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We hope to see you Sunday here at Merit Assembly of God. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And
Everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it.